is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. The headlines from Ecuador, a deeply troubled country having come through a rough election, and now CNN reporting. Ecuador's President Daniel Noboa has declared an, quote, internal armed conflict, end quote, in the country, ordering security forces to, quote, neutralize several criminal groups accused of spreading extreme violence in the Latin American nation. The decree, says CNN, came shortly after hooded and armed men interrupted a live television broadcast, one of several violent incidents playing out across the country. Professor, a very good day to you. Ecuador, we attended to it in 2023 because of the troubled election. And the young man, Noboa, who is the son of a very wealthy man, emerged as the president, an attractive young man, although he campaigned with a flak jacket on, a bulletproof vest. Ecuador was profoundly troubled by drugs, especially along the coastline. I've learned since then that Ecuador has become the major hub for Chinese nationals wishing to come to the United States. You fly into Quito, where you do not need an entry visa, and then make your way north. But now Quito and the rest of the country are under this pall of armed and hooded men. Who are they? What are they? What is the issue here that they want to be on television? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. This is really the escalation of narco-group-related violence and their attempt to push back and essentially terrorize the population and terrorize the new government of Daniel Noboa. And, of course, Noboa's action in declaring a state of internal conflict and his 60-day state of emergency has really upped the ante and has brought the Ecuadorian military in support of the police in interesting and challenging new ways. A little bit of the context, of course, The Colombia to Ecuador's north, as well as Peru to a lesser extent, have been two of the three major cocaine producers in Latin America. In recent years, as much as a third of the cocaine that was going out of Colombia started being moved out of Ecuador, which was, in terms of its security institution capabilities, somewhat less capable. And so in recent years, you've seen an explosion of those drug movements and wars between drug groups, essentially local gangs, the Choneros and another group called Los Lobos, and among others, but backed by much larger Mexican cartels, especially the Sinaloa cartel and Jalisco Nueva Generacion. And so what emerged and really shaped the election that brought Daniel Noboa to power was this attempt to terrorize populations. You saw unprecedented violence, especially in the coast. This was particularly acute in Ecuador's prisons. There was overcrowding and difficulty in prison control. And so what basically happened in this most recent series of events, which was moving relatively quickly, one of the leading gang members who was in prison was going to be moved to another prison. He mysteriously escaped a person by the name of Adolfo Macias, one of the leaders of the Choneros. That unleashed a series of riots and one fire across six prisons in Ecuador, the taking of hostages, the displaying of weapons that the prisoners had, some 150 guards may have been taken hostage. And so this was really the escalation that led to the declaration of the state of emergency. But one of the events, again, it's not the type of event that just a drug group looking to keep a low profile takes. But one of the armed groups actually took over, as you indicated, one of Guayaquil's leading television stations. And again, on the air while they were doing a news broadcast, they took hostages and eventually they withdrew, indicating that the plan all along was really to get that attention. They also invaded a university, the Guayaquil University, among other things. And so it was in that context that you had the state of emergency. And again, what's really different about this was that Noboa had specifically named in this presidential decree the major criminal organizations, including Choneros, including the Lobos, as terrorist organizations, and basically directed the military to go after them as if Ecuador is fighting a, you know, internal civil war. And so the military are on the streets for that specific reason. Things have gotten even more worrisome in recent hours with respect to having to the government actually evacuated the National Assembly because of threats against the assembly, which is located in the heart of downtown. There has been reported some threats against the presidential palace at Carondelet. It's really an illustration of the depth of the challenge that Ecuador faces against these very well-armed gangs out to intimidate, and certainly a test of this new young but relatively pro-U.S. and center-right regime. Because if things go south for Noboa between now and Ecuador's next elections in 2025, the U.S. potentially could lose one of its closest allies remaining in the region with some serious strategic implications there.
The Reuters TV and Reuters stills, along with everybody else, are giving us images of the prisons where we presume the detained or convicted are obliged to lie on the floor face down in their underwear, reminding me of photographs we've seen from Salvador, the roundup there in the tens of thousands. And the prisons are now guarded by the army. It doesn't look like corrections personnel guarding them. They're in full battle gear. Reuters is also reporting people fleeing the city. I presume they mean Quito, the capital city, on transportation, any transportation they could get. This looks like a nationwide panic, not just in certain large cities. Is there a transnational organization that can step in and provide extra security or extra confidence to the people of Ecuador, or is it on its own in a crisis like this?
Well, certainly while Ecuador has been ramping up its military capabilities in police, even before Noboa came into office, and indeed one of Noboa's leading initiatives is something called Plan Phoenix that would give additional capabilities, including tactical weapons, which, as I understand it, are to be provided by the United States, as well as a new intelligence unit and various other types of security. And so the Ecuadorians have been working as fast as they can to enhance those security capabilities, certainly with respect to the control of criminal groups. The Ecuadorians have been working closely with their neighbors, including Colombia. There was actually just a major successful operation against another major drug grouping, which was an act of collaboration between Ecuadorian counter-drug forces and the Colombian National Police. So the neighbors do have a helpful role. The United States does have a helpful role. With respect to the prisons, some of the images, and this is something even in El Salvador is also relatively routine, that in trying to assert prison control, oftentimes the prisoners are brought together into a common area while their cells are searched for contraband and weapons. The reason that they're put in their underwear is essentially to make sure that they are not harboring any weapons when they are brought together in a public space. And so what oftentimes looks like acts intent to intimidate the prisoners or torture the prisoners, that's actually a relatively necessary and routine security measure when they're trying to essentially find contraband and reestablish control over the prisons. But certainly the fact that the military, as has happened in other places, were brought into the prisons to try to help reestablish control is, you know, one element of this. And I'm sure that the military has been thinking about these campaigns now for many, many months, as militaries often do, in terms of the authorities and not only what they would do with respect to the prisons and securing streets and things like that. But it's a big challenge because, again, the explicit objective of these groups right now is to essentially try to intimidate the state in ways that could destabilize the Noboa government. And that's what they're fighting against, this very overt effort at terrorism, to say, you know, hey, we are the ones that are in charge, ease off state. But Noboa seems to be going in the very opposite direction, to his credit.
And from the images that Reuters is providing, the ambition of the terrorists is in train. The population is acting frightened and unsure of what to do next and where to go next. One more detail here. I read a story in the London media over these last days about a young man, they called him Johnny, who was a gunman for gangs in Colombia. And he said that he's probably murdered 30 people as a gunman in the course of his career, which was several years out of date because eventually he was targeted by the same gangs that paid him X number of hundreds of dollars for each murder. And so he gave them up to the police, goes the story. They were all jailed, and he took up something that wasn't a hired killer's profession. However, they're now getting out of jail, and he's frightened. He hardly goes out, according to the story in the London media. Some of it read like a high-drama romance that Hollywood would film. And I was reluctant at first to believe it, because gunmen who say they've killed 30 people, you puzzle what they want. Why would they admit this to the major media? Now, after these incidents in Ecuador, bordering Colombia, I'm inclined to think that it's all accurate, that these gangs don't recognize sovereignty, don't recognize states or police. They roam around and hire young people to do their murders. It looks like young people in the TV studio. Does that describe a situation that makes the whole continent under threat, not just Ecuador?
Well, certainly from being within a gang, that has its own reality in terms of who you're loyal to. And when there's a perception of being, young and invulnerable and immortal, and especially in a society where it's not perceived that there is the enforcement reliably of rule of law, that's not entirely unthinkable. But clearly, the balance here in Ecuador and elsewhere is the attempts by the gangs to terrorize, as we've seen in so many other places, including Colombia, as you alluded to before, with gangs or groups like the ELN and the FARC and its dissidents and the various others. The critical attempts by the state to show that the state can provide security to its citizens. And so that's, part of the purpose of terrorizing in ways that don't make military sense, like trying to take over television stations. And again, in putting the military out into the street. It's the same thing that, was the race with Nayib Bukele by putting the gangs in prison and terrorizing them in prison to basically show Salvadorans that, he could restore confidence in the streets. And so that race between the gangs seeking to show that they control the level of violence and the government can't keep them safe versus the government showing that yes, they can keep them safe. But this is something very new for Ecuadorians. Literally from about 2016, you've had an eightfold increase in the homicide rate in Ecuador, what was once a very safe place. Last year, you had over 8,000 deaths. The homicide rate literally jumped 80% just last year alone. And so this is something that Ecuadorians are not entirely used to. And I think they are still making adjustments. And so especially in urban areas, I've spent some time in Ecuador, it is still a bit of a shock for the people who have not become accustomed, as some have in places like Guerrero, Mexico, to these levels of violence and gang intimidation.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.